The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Well, it looks like the beast from the east struck us off for the final hooter podcast on lovably.com as well, because we've been away for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, have we?
2 or 3 weeks now, Aid.
We're back anyway. Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson talking Rugby League. Thank you to Radio General for letting us use the professional studio.
Hey, I tell you what, mate, I'm really pleased that you're sounding a lot better. You was like a horse before.
A horse. Like Red Rum.
Maybe not that vintage, I don't think.
Shergar.
Yeah, that was where we've been.
I'm trying to think of other horses.
No, Shergar went missing. That was us.
Yeah, that's us. Yes.
But yes, we're back.
We are back. And guess who else is back?
Go on, who's back?
Mickey Hyams back.
Oh, yeah. How great's that? I'm
Space
really...
Space Cowboy of Rugby League returns. He retires as a big shindig. 6 or 8 weeks later. Welcome back, Mickey.
To be fair, though, I mean, I know I spoke with him round about that time, just before his big retirement due against Wigan. And he didn't sound like he'd adapted to it at all. He'd not got it into his head that he was retiring. Apparently, he'd also received a little bit of interest from other clubs as well. But he stuck loyal to Lee. Lee's done good by him. It's probably the only bit of good news, by the way, that he's coming out of the Lee club over the last few weeks, because we've seen Neil Dukes resign, unfortunately. Kieran Pirtle has stepped up to the top job now, and how long he's going to have it for.
Rumours Derek Beaumont could walk away.
The dark clouds
are gathering.
This always happens.
The seagulls are waiting for the sardines.
Oh, that's an old quote.
Thought I'd nip that one off Eric Cantona.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder whether he was a Catalans Dragons fan. Because they're not doing it much better either,
no,
are they?
No, Steve McManera's got his hands full there, but it's going all to plan for Sylvain Houlez. Is that right?
Sylvain Houlez, yeah.
Yeah, it's going all to plan for him at Toulouse.
Oh,
they look good this year.
They do look good, yeah. I had the pleasure of seeing him a couple of weeks ago playing against Lee. And although Lee got themselves in a winning position, 20 points to 6 up against 12 men, and saw the game slip away from them, Toulouse were brilliant in that game at time. William Bartow seems to just have been the catalyst for it. So I saw him play really well over this last couple of years for London Broncos. And now he's gone back. Can I say he's gone back home? He's gone back over to France anyway.
He's gone back, yeah.
Him and Stan Robban are doing fantastic work in the halfbacks over there at Toulouse, and they've got a back line that can really fly.
I like his style. He has his cap on, doesn't he, Sylvain Houlez? He's got the collars up, and he looks like a typical Frenchman that's going to lose it within 20 seconds.
He wasn't far from losing it on the touchline a few times, believe it or not. They play some great stuff, and he's always an interesting character to speak to as well.
Tell you what else has been happening within the world of rugby league since we've been away and we've come back. Wigan, Hull and Leeds all went to Australia.
Oh yeah, that was the pre-season shindig, wasn't it?
No, they were there for the action.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Were they?
Yeah, Wigan beat Hull in the Super League game.
Yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately lost out to the Australians that they both played the week after. Leeds got absolutely hammered by Melbourne.
To be fair, though, that Melbourne team, I mean, how brilliant is it?
They were good.
They've just named their 20-year team, haven't they, from their entire history.
All right, yes.
And that contains, I think...
It's got to be Smith, Slater... Cooper Cronk.
Yeah, that contains all those three guys and another three that are still playing in the team today. So that tells you that they're a team of immortals that are currently playing for Melbourne, aren't they? Okay, Cooper Cronk's gone, but his new man who stepped up to the mark has done a great job so far, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how things progress. They're a fantastic outfit, aren't they, Melbourne? They were doing that to NRL clubs last season.
It's a pity they're not a Super League club, isn't it? Why can't they be over here?
What?
Why can't they be in our league like Toronto?
Wiping the floor with us instead?
Why can't they come over here and join Toronto in the Super League party?
Well, that's one of the rumours, isn't it? Not Melbourne, by the way.
Right, okay, no, that'd be in a scoop and a half.
But they were talking about a team possibly in Perth, weren't they? Coming over and playing in our Super League.
Well, why not? We're already talking New York.
Hang on, can we not get it right over here first?
Listen, we've been trying for 120 years. We still haven't got it right.
Can we not get it right here first?
Look, the RFL have had a coffee and a chat with Eddie Earns. Maybe he's the man to put the magic back into rugby league.
He could be. I mean, like, the work that he's done for both darts and boxing has been tremendous, hasn't it? Because they're all playing in front of sellout crowds and stuff. The one thing that sort of I'm a little bit wary of with Eddie Hearn is the fact that those are individual sports, aren't
exactly,
they? They're not team sports.
Not team sports.
And I just wonder, when we're hearing all these rumours as well about whether the you know there's going to be a big cut in all the money for the next TV contract, that there's only going to be 20 professional clubs and they're going to cut basically all of League One adrift. That's the worry for me. That's the worry for me. But he's one of those guys, is Eddie Earn, that he can sell snow to the Eskimos. So if he wants to jump on board and jump on board the rugby party,
come and join the party.
Yeah, we might actually see a couple of events sold out.
Might do, yeah. I wonder if we're getting the events sold out in Denver when England take on New Zealand.
I tell you, that's a big good news story, isn't it?
Yeehaw! Get your cowboy hat on. Is that what it's like in Denver?
I have no idea, to be honest.
Or do they make cars out there?
That's Detroit, that, isn't it?
Is that Detroit? What's Denver famous for, then? I thought it was Cowboys.
Was it not Denver Broncos? Denver Broncos
never
are
heard
the,
of them.
They're the NFL team, aren't they?
I don't know.
They chuck more forward passes than Wigan.
I only specialise in rugby league. I don't worry about what other sports are doing.
Oh, right, okay. But anyway, they're going to be playing that. I think it's an 80,000 venue.
I think we're either going to get 80,000 for that.
I don't know. But the guy behind it is the guy that's taking the Rugby League World Cup to America in 2025. I'm hoping that this is like going to be the start of something big happening stateside.
Other news happening off the field. The RFL have said they're quitting Redhall and they're going to move everything to Manchester. They're going to be based at the Etihad.
Yeah, I'm excited by that.
You know what? I am. Could we see the Magic Weekend return there as well, then?
Well, you just never know, do you?
No.
It would make sense if it did, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would. And I know that some people aren't happy with it being up at Newcastle, are they?
Rugby league fans are never happy.
I don't know whether it's the fans. I think the fans actually like Newcastle. I think it's some of the clubs that aren't happy with it.
Yeah, because you've got to travel. Even though if Drew Gates is in the cup or in the weekend, they've got to go there anyway.
Who's Gates?
What's the difference? All right, Newcastle.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're sort of looking at it. I mean, I'm excited by this, though, because having been around those parts, it's crying out for sport, isn't it? That big venue.
Where, Manchester or Redhall?
Well, Redhall's falling apart, to be honest. I mean, that's a...
it sounds like the game.
That's an 18th century building, which again sounds like the game, doesn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and an institution. You know, I think it might have been something of a stately home at some point, that place.
Right.
And they must have got to the point where it's costing them too much to put it right when the roof's leaking and, you know, someone's been off with the leading off the roof and all this type of stuff, you know. So they want to bring it to Manchester. Manchester seems to be the place to go these
days.
I have
been to that venue where they are. It is pretty special. It's a modern arena for what we're hoping to bring rugby league into the modern world.
Yeah, and
fingers crossed.
And I've been to Redhall, which is a fantastic place, by the way, but it is old. It is old, and I'll be really pleased, like you, to have rugby league kicking and screaming into the 21st century.
In the heartlands as well.
In the heartlands, yeah. All we need is for fans to go back in Oldham, Rochdale, Swinton to the hilt, don't we now?
Yeah, get your flat cap on.
Featherstone?
Yeah, why not?
Well, what a start they've made to the season as well.
What a start Wakefield have made. Both teams, Wakefield, Featherstone.
Yeah, what you
see in the championship, all the talk was about Lee, Toronto, Featherstone, London Broncos.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. The Broncos just quietly getting on with it.
To be fair, I mean, you know, I saw a lot of London last year, and I spoke to Andrew Henderson quite regularly, and Danny Ward just seems to have picked up the Henderson mantle and taken it to another level, doesn't he, so far? They seem to be battering everybody. I mean, I'm looking at it. They've scored 159 points in four games. They've only conceded 52 as well. So, again, similar to how St. Helens have been so dominant in the Super League so far, there's a similar sort of beast emerging in the Championship, isn't there, in the way that London's start has gone.
At Wakefield as well, outstanding. Opening four games, knocked everybody over. First time they've done that since the introduction of Super League.
Wakefield are showing the way to build a club, aren't they?
Pity they can't do it off the field, but on the field, yeah.
3 years ago, they were fighting it out in the first £1 million game.
They were.
Last year, they got a top eight spot.
Yes.
Then they look odds on at the moment with the way that they're playing for a top four spot now, don't they?
I actually thought they weren't being able to back up last year, so in the media tips, I put them in the bottom half of the league.
Oh, you fool.
Only because I thought they've lost a great John Keir, and I thought maybe Chris Chester might not be able to do the job on his own, but he's proven he can.
Don't back against the Chester. he's been that naffed off since Kingston Rovers gave him the push.
He's on a mission.
He is on a mission. He'll win a Super League title for him, yeah. Mark my words.
I hope you're right.
And to be fair though, I mean, I know I'm sounding a little bit giddy, but I'd imagine this is how Wakefield Trinity fans are at the moment as well, because they've never had it so good.
Never had it so good.
Certainly not in the last 20-odd years, anyway.
Can you ever sort the ground out, though? Will he ever sort that ground out? Will he ever get to... And Castleford as well, they've been talking about it for so long now. Will they ever... Will Lentry ever get to the new grounds?
We might have more chance of seeing a unicorn before we see either Castleford or Wakefield in new grounds, you know, Adrian.
Oh, we could see the return of the beast from the east, which struck and wiped out plenty of rugby league games. And had everyone moaning how cold they were at rugby league matches.
Well, I was cold at the weekend.
Hats off to the 49 that made it to Hull, by the way.
No, don't take your hat off. You would have had your ears freezing off, wouldn't you, in all the weather?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, about the 49 Warrington fans that defied the weather to get over to Hull.
They deserve a great big pat on the back, don't they?
You do, because the M62 was closed.
It was. Did you see the pictures of the M62?
Yeah.
There was snow drifts like 6 foot deep and everything. They had to get the army out.
I know we got some Super League games on the Sunday, but basically everything was wiped out amateur-wise and in League One as well.
Yeah. No games took place at all in League One. And to be honest, half the Championship fixtures were also accounted for as well. As you mentioned, we did end up getting Super League games on the Sunday once the big thaw had set in. But, it was a bit of a struggle. There was only one National Conference League match which beat the Big Freeze, and that was at Lee East.
Who says nothing happens in rugby league?
Oh, there's loads that's happened.
Well, we've just whittled off at least a dozen stories there, and we've only been away 3 weeks.
Yeah, imagine if we'd been doing this every week.
Oh, dear old me. Anyway, let's get on to the action. And while we've been away, Leeds Rhinos returned back from the defeat at the hands of Melbourne. They were looking to get back to winning ways against Widnes. It weren't to be. They were defeated by the mighty Vikings. So let's hear from Reece Hambry, of all people.
I think the last couple of weeks we've put in good performances, and this being on the wrong side of the scoreboard, and it was good to pick up the 2 points.
What was the key to success against Leeds today?
I think just patience. We knew coming back from Australia they were going to get tired towards the back end of a game, and I think that's when we piled on the points. So we just stuck to our game plan, and then it was just patient, really.
Again, another good defensive performance.
Yeah, I think our D has been really good throughout the season already, especially our goal line D. We got about one with a hooker today, but besides that, I think we've got a few kicks, and that's about it. So it's another pleasing aspect of our game.
Lots been made about the absences for Leeds, but Widnes have had a few themselves today, so that makes it an even bigger win.
Yeah, I think just mainly it's at our home. We've got to win our home games, so it's huge. Doesn't really matter who they put out. It's about us. And yeah, we had a few injuries today also, but yeah, it's just we just had to get the 2 points, no matter how we got them today.
What was the mood like at halftime?
Yeah, it was good. We knew we had them a few times and we just didn't take the chance. So we knew if we stuck to our game plan, we'd come away with a win.
Chances came in the second half and boy, you took them.
Yeah, it's just we knew they were going to get tired towards the end, and we stuck to our game plan. That's basically it, yeah.
How do you feel you went personally?
I think it was a better performance by me. A few runs, a few skill errors from me that we could have taken in that first half, and then to bounce back and have a few good runs is pleasing.
Back to winning ways, another tough game next week against Wigan.
Yeah, Wigan away Friday. We like going there, so it's going to be a good game for us.
First half was good for him, couldn't back it up in the second half.
Yeah, they were
bullied, said Dennis Betts.
Extremely good in that first half, to be honest. 16 points to 4 up at half time. You're thinking, all Widnes have to do, complete, kick sensibly, do the basics right. And instead, they came up against their own beast. Their own beast from the Wigan side of things. Sean Wayne really wound his team up, didn't he?
Oh, he must have given them the hairdryer at half time. He must have been kicking the chairs, throwing the cups.
I bet he's really quiet, you know. I think he'll just have gone round, you know.
I think he'd be like a Rottweiler in them dressing rooms.
Quiet word with everybody.
And the rest, yeah.
Quiet word.
Okay,
yeah.
Mate, okay, yeah, go with that. It worked, whatever he said.
I mean,
the trial from Sam Tompkins, it was like a throwback from 5 years ago.
It was wind the clock back time, wasn't it? But we also saw Burgess going over for a really good try. Sutton, Lulai, Farrell and Davis going over too.
Johnny Davis. No, Tom Davis.
You wish it was John Davis.
Yeah, Reece Hanbury for me, without a doubt, one of the best attacking fullbacks in the league. I know everyone's all the spotlights on Super Benny Barber, but Hanbury's up there with him.
I'm really glad that he's starting to be picked regularly again. I know he had a terrible year last year as far as injuries went. He only played in about half, if not just over half, of Widnes's games. So it is good to see him back on the field. And you're right, he's always a player that I enjoy watching. He's very skillful with the ball. He's quick. You know if you can't grab him and you don't move up as one on him, that he's going to get through. And, you know, he certainly is the catalyst for much of Widnes's attack.
You were a busy boy as well while you've been away.
Yeah, I was. Down in the Championship, yes. Going to various games, you know. First of all, on the Sunday a couple of weeks ago, I found myself over at Salford seeing Swinton against Batley. So we've got Matt Diskin coming up in just a moment.
And then the day after, you doubled it up and went and covered Dewsbury and Rochdale on the Monday.
Yeah, really pleased to see Neil Kelly. And he's just continued on from last season. We'll also hear from him in the next couple of minutes as well.
Let's hear from Super Matt Diskin.
It's an enjoyable game from if you're a neutral, everything else, high scoring, plenty of entertainment, I'm sure. But defensively, you know, both teams are pretty average. I know us in particular, we conceded some soft tries and came up our structure a little bit. But, you know, the positive was we got 48 points and we were pretty clinical at times. We had some nice shape, and that was the encouraging thing out of the game was, you know, the tries we scored and how we tried to play the game was real positive.
Having seen you last week against Lee, there was even more evidence that things are starting to come together, particularly with your half-backs, combination.
Yeah, it's getting there slowly. You know, the two half-backs there have got, you know, they've got two more half-backs nipping on the heels, so there's loads of competition there, which is good and keeps everybody performing really well. So, you know, we'll take the positives, offensively, but we can't overlook, you know, we shipped way too many points, so, you know, we're not going to beat the top teams by shipping that many points. So we'll look at those issues, we'll work through them this week and, you know, have a solution come Barrow next week.
It was a bit of a strange game, wasn't it? Because, you know, Batley dominated for so long in that first half, got a really good advantage, and then it was almost like two penalties conceded, two tries on the board.
Yeah, the referee got a little bit whistle-happy at times. It was there were some interesting penalties in there for both sides. But we didn't handle them very well. You know, we reacted quite poorly. So every time we had a penalty or an error, we seemed to concede a try off it. So mentally, we've got to be a little bit tougher there. And we're conscious of it and we'll work on it. And I say, it's only round two. We'll keep improving week to week.
Big performance from Mike Ward, I thought.
I thought he was outstanding. You know, he's a real quality team player as well. And, you know, he had a chance to go for the hat-trick and instead handed it on to his mate on the outside. And, that shows the calibre of the bloke there. He had a fantastic performance and, you know, he's becoming a real attribute for the club.
And to be honest as well, your middles that opened the game were very strong, weren't they?
They carried well. Defensively at half-time, they got a bit of an earful because I thought it was a little bit weak in D and allowed the ruck to roll too quickly. They did better with that in the second half. They put themselves about, started to dominate a little bit physically there. So there was some improvement there. And, you know, they're a big set of middles and they take some handling when they're on form.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final Hooter.
Super Matt Diskin would have been even super happy after seeing his team back it up with a big win.
Yeah, they beat Barrow in the following week, 32 points to 12. Again, big defensive effort. So I think he'll have been happier that week with only conceding 12 because they conceded, I think it was 28 against Swinton, who on that day were pretty good at chucking the ball about. But talking about defence, the best defensive team that I have seen all season so far. And granted, I've not been to St Helens yet, because everybody's talking about them in Super League, but the best defensive team I've seen is none other than Neil Kelly's Dewsbury. Well, Neil, I don't know what you'll be most pleased with. The fact that you scored 38 points or only conceded 6.
I'm both really equally pleased with both. And it was a game of to ours, if you don't mind me saying that, because I thought the first half we were totally dominant on attack, and by as a result of some, I thought, rather lenient refereeing one way and not the other, the second half presented us with a big defensive challenge. And overall, you know, to concede 6 points when they've had so much possession, especially near our line, I thought it was a great effort.
That first half in particular, though, very, very clinical. And I think what was most impressive was punishing the mistakes that Rochdale made.
Yeah, I mean, James Glover obviously is a great tackle, and he earned the right to score his try. And, you know, a lot of what you build is from the defence. And we took the opportunities and hopefully forced the opposition into some mistakes, and obviously clinically scored points. But I think it's credit to the players that they're buying into what we've done. I think we'd have conceded a lot more points last year, say, if we'd have had so much pressure. But we've managed to withhold it in this game, and hopefully that will carry on in the next games to come.
Is that the most pleasing aspect for you so far this season, that defensive part?
I think it's all round game. You know, especially after tonight, when we've really put together an all round game, I'm just pleased with that. Even last week when we got turned over, we didn't lack anything for endeavour and effort. It was just we lacked a little bit of attacking streetwise, being a bit streetwise on attack, and a little bit of invention. But and obviously the loss of Gareth Moore posed a challenge for us tonight, but I think Michael Knowles has come in and done superbly well, and we've had a good week's training, and we've carried that on into the game.
And then you had Dom Speakman also playing half back the last 20 minutes, which was a nice dilemma to have, really, wasn't
it? Yeah, well, Michael Knowles wasn't fit for tonight. He's had a bit of a leg injury, but it was touch and go. I was ringing him up over the weekend saying, can I pick you at 7? And it was only in the last sort of 24 hours that we made the decision to play him, which explains why we brought him off after 50 minutes when the game obviously was, we'd won the game. But it's nice to have somebody like Dom who can play 9 and 7, or 6 for that matter. And, you know, that's part of being in a good squad. You know, there's several players not playing tonight that had got a realistic claim to play, and it's been very hard to ring them up and tell them that they're not playing for this reason. And I think that's something about us now. We're building a good squad that can create a good team from within it. And, you know, if we can carry on that through the rest of the season, then so much the better.
Well, they backed it up, didn't they? Short turnaround. We're not going to talk about that one because that's all Super League coaches ever moan about. But Dewsbury just got on with it and backed it up with a win against Swinton a couple of days later.
Yeah, they didn't moan about it. They beat Swinton 20 points to nil. So again, that emphasises what I've been talking about, the defensive efforts that they've been putting in. Plus as well, it was good to see Michael Knowles. You know Michael.
I do.
Skull caps,
yes,
second row forward.
Yeah.
Works his socks off every day, and he's pretty nifty on attack as well, given an opportunity. He's been playing halfback the last couple of games because of Gareth Moore's injury.
It shows you the spirit Neil Kelly's installed at Dewsbury when players are miffed and fed up. If you get the phone call and he's telling them you're not playing.
Well, it does, doesn't it? And it shows a real togetherness about the squad, doesn't it? And the fact that there is a lot of competition for places. And whilst teams like Dewsbury maybe don't have, you know, 30 players to pick from, the players that they do have are all totally committed to the cause, and it's been a joy seeing Dewsbury Rams this season so far. It just seems like a continuation of the good work that Neil Kelly started
last year.
Like
the old days, wasn't it?
It is, really, isn't it? You know,
good times may return with Neil Kelly.
Because they were a fantastic team, weren't they? His Dewsbury side at the turn of the century, and then he went on and led witness to the Super League.
Coach of the Year in 2002.
Yeah, then it all went wrong for him, sadly.
Went wrong, yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad to see him back in rugby league and doing the business.
Good. That's what we say.
Exactly.
Now, Wigan, we mentioned Sorry about the throat. Yeah, Wigan, we mentioned they'd been to Australia. They came back. Okay, they beat Widnes in the last round of Super League, but they played Warrington on the Friday after getting back from Australia. And be honest with you, wasn't the best game, was it?
Everyone was raving about that game as well. I just don't see what everyone was raving about.
I thought it was rubbish.
It was a hard-working game, don't get me wrong, yeah. But there wasn't that much excitement in it, was there?
No.
And really, I mean, Warrington should have won that game possibly by more points. They should have posted more points. And Wigan made it really close in the last 20 minutes, didn't they?
And Steve Price actually smiled.
You're joking.
No, serious.
To be fair, he's not had much to smile about, has he, over recent weeks?
No.
With the form of Warrington. I mean,
being up and down, hasn't it?
They currently find themselves sitting in seventh position in the table, which is an improvement of a couple of spaces on last season. But they've been patchy, haven't they?
Yeah, like they were against Hull.
They were very patchy against Hull.
Yeah, but he was smiling after his team beat Wigan, so let's hear from him.
I thought we dominated the, you know, the true value of the game for the 80 minutes. The scoreline wasn't a reflection of the game, I thought. Especially that first half, I thought, you know, execution at times in that first half and the amount of possession we had, I thought we should have come away with a few more points. And you know, the missed opportunity just before half time when we had the drop ball over before the try line, and straight after half time when we created another opportunity there, and you know, we could have, you know, felt like it should have been above 20-24 points, but wasn't to be. They're a quality football team. They've been a top four Super League club for a lot of years now, and it was just good to come away and get the result.
When it's like that, does it somewhat sour the victory? Not sour the victory, but take a little bit of the gloss off it, that you know it should have been more. And on another day, you know, if Wigan had found their feet, all of a sudden you've got a fight on your hands.
No, not really, because we kept finding a way to turn them away. They scored that try right on the bell, but you know, systematically, I felt we were in control for the majority of the game, and we had Blake's working hard, and you know, we only had 15, you know, in throughout the game. So you know, it's a credit to the guys on how hard they're working and the resolve they're showing.
Howard Brown and Curry.
Yeah, Kev, he's pretty good in the sheds at the moment, so we'll just have to go through the process throughout the week. And Benny Curry's just got a bit of a problem with his knee, so he'll be sent away for scans. And
have you seen the improvements that you wanted, Steve, the last couple of weeks after the Huddersfield game?
Yeah, definitely, with the attitude and their intent and ability to be able to keep turning teams away. And you know, I think it's the last 2 weeks we've kept two teams to 10 points, so try right at the death. It's very pleasing. And the more times, you know, Kev, Tyrone and Darryl Clark play together with Stefan, then I like to think we're going to get better over the coming weeks.
Maybe never against Hull.
To be fair, Kevin Brown didn't play in that one.
No,
there was another
never.
Change in the halfbacks, wasn't
yeah.
it? Patton going in.
Yeah. He got himself sent off. Liam Watts got sent off.
It was a bit of a fiery game at times, wasn't it?
What was Liam Watts doing? If you're going to bust him, just do it properly.
Oh, he just lost his head, didn't he? The red mist descended, and then he gave him a love kiss, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean,
that wouldn't have happened in Jim Mills' day. Don Crosby would have been laid out on the floor.
Not that we're condoning that type
no,
of
we're
thing.
No, we're not, of course, but it's a rough, tough game and fans like a fight.
Not that we condone it, though, with us being in the media and what have you.
Yes, but the fans like it. So can you have more of it, please? And you need something like that on the cold nights, just to warm yourself up.
But it was like
pumping.
As soon as Patton got sent off, Warrington started chucking the ball about, didn't they? And it was as soon as Stefan Ratchford moved up to halfback. Did you notice that?
I did, yeah. So, Ratchford is the main man for Warrington. I like Bryson Goodwin as well.
Yeah, well, although...
But he keeps getting injured.
He does keep getting injured, yeah. He missed most of the game, didn't he? He picked up a knock after about 10 minutes
yeah.
and then we didn't see him again, sadly.
He took a knock against Wigan, knock against Widnes.
Yep. He took a knock against Widnes in pre-season as well, to be honest.
He took a knock against Leeds, if my memory's correct.
Yeah, yeah. So he's doing it tough, isn't he, old Bryson? Tell you who is going good, though.
Who?
Chris Nenu for Widnes.
He is. Top try scorer. He's in the dream team.
Yeah.
Going well, isn't he?
Kicking goals as well.
Kicking goals.
But Ben
Barber's going good. We already said that.
Oh, yeah. But we'll give him another mention. Ben Barber's going really well.
Did well as he brushed aside Salford.
He did. I saw one particular piece of footage from that game, and he must have danced past about six players in one run. He's just phenomenal on his feet, isn't he? He's got so much skill.
So there was wins for St Helens, there was wins for Hull.
Yep. Wins for Wakefield.
Wins for Wakefield.
Yeah, over Huddersfield and Wigan. Old Kingston Rovers and Castleford and Leeds Rhinos and Catalans were postponed.
All postponed because of the
Beast from the East.
Beast from the East. League One wiped out. Who won in the Championship?
In the Championship, there was just the three games at the weekend.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Dear me.
Toulouse defeated Rochdale 54-6 in their own hometown. Swinton Lions hosted Toronto Wolfpack with the Wolfpack winning by 52-12. And there was another defeat for Lee Centurions by 38-30 at home to Featherstone Rovers.
Should we hear from Paul Rowley?
Why not?
Oh Lord, it could have been a tricky trip here today, but the Wolfpack handled the conditions and came up with a confident win.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, to be fair, they had a good side as well. So yeah, they definitely had a strong side, and it was always going to be a real challenge. And I think they would have targeted it, you know, as a potential win for them. It's a no lose situation, isn't it? I thought they built it up really well, they marketed really well, their whole club was buzzing. And so, you know, we knew we was going to be met with a lot of fire. And I thought our early entrance, if you like, to the game really quietened down a little bit and took the sting out of their tail. And I thought we was really consistent in our actions. Our detail was good throughout in attack and defence. And I thought our intent was good. And I thought the boys after last week had a lot of questions asked of them by themselves, and they answered them today in a really positive fashion.
Can you say it was a real dominant performance today?
Yeah, very dominant. I thought we dominated right from the start, and you know, a couple of their tries, they scored two tries, and neither of them was tries, so that's pleasing. It's annoying that they get rewarded the tries, but nevertheless, it was pleasing. But you know, Swinton had a dig right until the end, and with that team out, I think it's a matter of time before they gel and they'll come up with a few good wins. I've got no doubt about that.
Then they scored two. You scored plenty, and they were well taken as well.
Yeah, I thought we had a real, like I said, I thought we had an intent, and I think everybody was a runner today instead of a passer, and that's good. You know, we had aggression in defence and aggression in attack as well. So I thought everybody, I thought everyone put their hand up, and we had threats all over the field. I thought. People on debut, Rennie and Jake Butler Fleming, you know, had really good introductions to the game as well. And Blake Wallace, obviously, who's, you know, missed a few games, he's come in and really staked a claim. Is that a word? Staked a claim for a shirt next week.
The Green say, what kind of a statement does that make?
Oh, no statements. And people keep talking about balloons and being burst and stuff from last week, but we're a new club. We're still inflating our balloon. We're still blowing it up. So it's not popping just yet. So, we're in a good place. We're making no statements. We're just a new club with a off-field department that, you know, wants to celebrate what a wonderful game we all represent. And, you know, that's about as far as it goes.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
I'm going to blow our balloons up. Blowing our balloons up. That's a great quote.
He's always good for a quote, is Paul, to be honest. One of his most memorable quotes, as far as I was concerned, when he was league coach, came back in 2009.
Right.
We played up at Barrow.
Yes.
When Barrow were an all-conquering team in the Championship, if you remember.
Yeah.
They beat Lee by 74-6, and he was talking about the man in the mirror effect. I thought he was going to burst into Michael Jackson song. But no, great bloke, Paul. I do wish him every success with the Toronto Wolfpack. He's certainly got him singing to his tune, hasn't he?
They have. Yeah, they played okay. You can see the difference in what you can spend in terms of cash and what you can't spend. And the fact that Toronto just dominated Swinton. Swinton tried hard, but you can see the fact that Swinton's budget is only $200,000, whereas what Toronto's spending, £1 million?
I saw a stat that said that Paul Rowley, of 45 players that have appeared so far for Toronto, 17 of them ex-league players.
There's a lot of ex-league players.
There is a lot of ex-league players in there.
Yeah, a couple of Warrington guys in there as well. In Ashton Sins and Joe Westerman.
And Quinton Lelutonga guy as well,
yeah,
still running around.
He looked class at the back.
Yeah, he is a good player, always has been.
Love to see him get a gig in Super League.
Sadly, I think he's getting on a little bit now, isn't he? He's 33, 34 years old.
Oh,
but class is permanent, isn't
Listen, right, you mentioned the age.
Go on.
Right? Super League clubs have brought over guys at that age from Australia.
They have. This is true.
So what's the difference?
they'd sooner do that and bring over a guy that's played 100 and odd games in the NRL rather than promote someone that has been doing the business in the Championship.
Wasting money then, isn't it?
That's your opinion. I'm not getting into any sort of arguments. I've still got to get into some of these Super League grounds, you know.
Okay. Right, let's talk Championship, shall we? As on the same day, John Duffy's men, and what a great job Duffy's doing at Featherstone, marched into Lee and stole the 2 points.
I wouldn't say stole. I thought that ultimately...
All right, deserved 2 points.
It was a deserved win in the end. Believe it or not, though, Lee were actually in front heading into the last 10 minutes.
Right.
Once again, they led in and got themselves in a winning position. It was 30 points to 26. Two late tries as far as Rovers were concerned. They did deserve it, though. And you're going to hear from Mr Duffy now.
Weren't there for defence, was it? You know, we... both teams, you know, high scoring game, and I'm just pleased with how tough we were. Played tough and stuck together for the full 80. We knew it would take 80 minutes after everything that's gone on down at Lee this week, and with Mickey signing back, who had a fantastic game for them. We knew it was going to be real tough to come here and get anything out of the game, but I'm just pleased with how together we are and the toughness to be sure at the end of the game. I nearly had a heart attack when Gaz dropped that ball wide, but I'm just glad we turned it round for him.
Anthony Thackeray, in the first half, had to leave the field. Is it bad news for him?
Yeah, it's bad. It looks bad at the minute. His elbow is still dislocated at half time, so we're not having any luck in our centres at the minute. But hopefully we'll have Missy back next week, and we'll look after Anthony. It does look a bit long term at the minute, but hopefully we'll get some good news.
And when he had to leave the field, Jack Holmenroyd had to step into that centre role, yeah. Probably one that he's not used to playing.
No, I thought Jack was superb as well, you know, playing a position he's not used to. We tried to shove him in the defensive line a little bit, trying not to expose him, but he was superb, you know, to come on and normally play his prop and playing out wide. Thought he had a real good dig for us, like McLeay was superb as well. He played big minutes for us there. He's a giant in the middle for us, and you know, they come in and bought in like they always do, but he's around those boys, and everyone's real tough for everyone in there now. But you know, we've got a real tough game next week. We've got a big month coming up, we've got the Challenge Cup coming up as well, which we want to have a good dig at. So we'll enjoy tonight, but we're straight back in tomorrow, and we've got a tough week coming up against Swinton.
Our thanks to Joanne Fitzpatrick for leading the interview in that game where Lee were defeated by Featherstone Rovers. And one thing I do like about Featherstone when they win the match,
go on.
On social media they always show pictures of the players singing and dancing after the game. Have you heard their song?
No, I don't think they opened the door.
Fantastic. I'm not going to start singing, but I've watched it on social media. It's no. Probably one of the best ones in rugby league, celebrationary songs.
And a key component to them winning that game was the form of a certain Martin Ridyard, who spent the previous 9 years of his professional career over at Lee Centurions. He looks a man revitalised, and it was good to see him going out and proving a point or two, possibly.
No, this was the first game where Neil Jukes hasn't been as the head coach, stepping into the hot seat for the time being anyway. There's Kieran Pirtle, and he gave you his thoughts about the game, very briefly, Ron.
Well, Kieran, your thoughts on that game?
Obviously, we're disappointed with the result. We just fought there as a group. We put a lot of pressure back on ourselves at the moment. We come up with a positive, and then we don't back it up with a positive. And our steel and our try line defensively just not good enough at the moment, so we've got to dust ourselves down again this week and work hard in training and put some things right again.
You could see there was a lot of effort there, but it's misplaced at times.
Yeah, there was a lot of effort, you know, some big efforts from Harrison Hansen, and you know, Mickey did well coming off the bench, so the effort was there. It's the smartness in what we do and just having that steel not to give up too easy, which I think at times we did on try line.
That's said very
it were,
brief.
Yeah, I said it were brief, didn't I?
He just wanted to get in, get out.
To be fair, though, I mean, he said it all in those few seconds, didn't he?
He did.
The try line defence was atrocious. To be honest, it was from both teams. And if both teams have ideas of even making the top four at the end of the season, then the defences are going to get a heck of a lot better. But I'm sure that John Duffy, as you heard, was the more pleased of the two coaches, even though there were signs of recovery for Lee, to be fair.
Yes.
Ben Crooks, for example, scoring a hat-trick. But It's tough, tough city this weekend. They're playing against Halifax.
Oh, big game. That always has a bit of beef about it as well, doesn't it?
Well,
it certainly has in the past.
It has in the past, but yeah, they're always keenly fought encounters against Halifax. I always really enjoy those games, to be honest.
Who does in the season? And it's amazing to even say this, but that is a must-win game for Leeds Centurions.
They find themselves currently sitting, where are they, ninth in the table.
Exactly.
One win from the first five, a point difference of minus 12. To be fair, you've got to praise all the opposition. All the opposition when they've
raised
come
the
up
game,
against Lee. They've raised the game.
Mm.
They've defeated Lee. We could talk from here till eternity about Lee's issues, to be honest, but I don't want to bore too many people. And I don't want people sort of saying that I'm completely biased and talking about my hometown club.
But you are.
So I'm just going to leave it and park it there just for the moment to come back. And when we do another one of these podcasts, or shows on Radio General, then that's when I'll discuss it again.
That's why I like Paul Rowley's style with the Blues, because everyone would say, oh, Toronto got battered by London Broncos the week before. Are they up to it?
Well, yeah, it was the first time that really they've I know York defeated them last year, but it's the first time in the Championship that flags have been lowered properly.
As well, yeah.
And it was a massive defeat, wasn't it? 47
yeah.
points to 14. So it just shows you that, you know, teams have an off day.
They do. We mentioned John Duffy was on about the Challenge Cup. That's been up and running while we've been away. The amateurs are hoping to make the way into the fourth round of the Challenge Cup. But before we go through the draw, let's give you the winners from round three. This is at the stage where the League One boys entered the road to Wembley. There were wins for Newcastle Thunder. North Wales Crusaders beat Keighley Cougars 28-24. Bradford were too strong for West Wales Raiders. Huntsford were big winners against Oldham Raiders. Doncaster were massive winners against Mighton Warriors. Oldham were too strong for Featherstone Lions. Coventry saw off the challenge of Distington. Kells came up with a victory against the British Army. Normanton Knights beat Batley Boys. So at least we've got two amateurs in the fourth round draw. York City Knights too strong for Askham. Pilkington Rex, sorry, just three amateurs. What am I on about? Three amateurs are going to be in the draw. They were too strong for Milham on the day. Whitehaven, a close run thing against the Scholars, winning 16-14. We very nearly had an upset. Huntsville Club Parkside pushed Workington all the way, but Leon Price's men got over the winning line 24-16.
They're a cracking team, Huntsville Parkside.
Mm.
Very, very good. Very good. So that has meant that the next round of the Challenge Cup has been drawn, and that's provided Kells against Toronto, Doncaster against Newcastle Thunder, then it's Normanton Knights against Rochdale Hornets, North Wales Crusaders taking on Featherstone Rovers, Hunslet taking on the Bradford Bulls, Whitehaven at home to Dewsbury, London Broncos travelling up to Workington Town, Batley at home to Leigh Centurions, Halifax at home to Oldham, Coventry at home to Pilkington Rex, York City Knights at home to Swinton Lions, and Barrow Raiders at home to Sheffield Eagles. Before we go,
Very quickly,
I've got to do a big shout out to Alnwick Burrs. They've been fantastic. They launched their club, their junior club. They had over 70 young
wow.
people
well
at their launch event. So it just shows Rugby League in the North East is going from strength to strength, and hopefully we'll have more about it over
yes.
the course of this season. So well done to Alnwick. That's certainly telling a lot of people how you go about promoting your sport.
Keep enjoying your Rugby League. That's us done and dusted on Radio General. Next up on the action on the field, Warrington at home on Friday against St Andrews. You hear that game live on Radio General. And witness take on Huddersfield. We'll see you.
That was the final
Ooter.
That was the final
Ooter.
That was the final
Ooter.
That was the final
Ooter.